All right, we are live.
Hello, I'm Felicia Vereen, always known as Fee.
Hey, Fee, and I'm your girl, Sharita Three, better known as Fred.
And we are Inspire Her, the Total Woman Podcast, a new podcast all about uplifting you.
Yes.
Because friends, face it, you are awesome.
We'll be chatting up about topics we love to talk about, all the things we as women must juggle every day and the ish we complain about.
But who's listening?
Girl,
we'll chat about the struggle, the job, and about him. Mm. You know who we're talking about.
Girl.
That boo, husband, boyfriend, ex, whatever you're calling them today.
Mm.
Our lovely hellions, kids.
Our angels. But seriously, friends, life happens, and we don't always get a chance to talk about it. We take it on the chin, and we keep it moving.
Because that's what we were told to do.
Yep.
But here on Inspire Her, the Total Woman Podcast with Red and Fee, we are the friends you love to hang out with.
We are here to inspire her,
the Total Woman.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. How you doing, girl?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm tired too.
I'm glad it's Thursday, Friday, tomorrow.
I'm doing too much stuff. Gosh, I'm doing too much stuff. I have really gotten to the point where I need to say no. No, 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 no. But I'll keep taking on more and more stuff. And that's just how I am, I guess.
I understand that.
That's just how I'm excited.
I'm excited about
a couple of things.
You have I'm a excited lot to be excited about
this
about.
About this ring light, but it just ain't working for me. It almost hit me in the head a few minutes ago.
Almost hit you in the head. We don't want that. I'm trying to find.
But I'm excited about my book.
Yeah, you got a lot going on.
I'm excited about my book. This book was Blood, Sweat, and Tears, man. I got it. And for everybody who purchased my book, I am going to send it to you Phoebe style. It's going to be nicely represented. Nicely represented. So when you see the package, you will understand what I mean. So look forward to that. Just found out that we will be doing a book signing on June 10th in Virginia Beach. So for those of you who live in Richmond, you're not too far. And for those of you who live in the Tidewater area, you are right there. So I look forward to seeing my friends, and I'm going to send out a message to everybody because you will be able to not only for those who already who will have the book by then, you can bring your book and get it signed by the other authors, as well as for those people who still need the book, you'll be able to purchase it and bring it with you if you attend. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you got a lot of things to be excited about. What else you got going on?
My baby is graduating, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like woohoo all at the same time, y'all. But I know. After a little while, I'm gonna be like, oh my God.
A lot of mixed emotions, a lot of mixed feelings. So I'm definitely
very much so definitely coming down
after that. Well, we do have a guest coming on to tell her story from wife to widow. She should be on about 8:15, guys. So hold tight. She will be here.
Yes. And I know that there are some people that's probably on here, especially for her. She told us she's doing something very, very special. So we'll let her explain. But it's very, very special. And we are very proud of her for what she is doing and what she has done and how she will be able to help women in the future. I want to tell you, listen, she is one of our classmates from John F. Kennedy. We went to school in Richmond, Virginia. And man, I'm going to tell you, we doing the daggone thing. Man, we came from inner city, Richmond, Virginia. And I'm going to say this, in the hood. And listen, y'all, we our classes, from all the classes that I know, I mean, we do a daggone thing. Right. Don't matter where you come from, as long as you got teachers and stuff there that's giving you that knowledge, that's willing to pour into you.
We had some good teachers. We had some great teachers, I would say.
We had some great, great teachers. And we're getting ready to do a class reunion.
Yeah.
Is coming up in the fall. And JFK, listen, be ready, because we got some stuff. We got some stuff.
Well, we know the dates. We can put the dates out there, September 8th, 9th, and 10th. So plan to be there. And we're doing classes of 88, 89, 90, and 91. We represent class of 90, class of 1990. Yes. So I'm excited about that. Let's see.
So what you got going on?
I know, I was going to say the same thing. That's how we're here. I don't have many exciting things as you. My niece, the last grandchild, she is graduating. Michaela, shout out to my niece, Michaela. She'll be graduating, I don't know when, but her party is June 10th. And she will be going to the prom this Saturday. So I'm excited to see her off to the prom.
Those prom send-offs, man.
Yeah.
It's like the queen is here. I'm like, wow. They are, they're something else. I mean, I saw one girl's here and it was like the world came out to see her.
Yes.
It was like, my God. My daughter decided she didn't want to go to her own prom, so we didn't have a send-off. But I'm going to tell you what. We're going to have a trunk party for her somewhere in July, and it's going to be ridiculous. So if you are in the Georgia area, you are more than welcome, but you have to bring a gift.
Right.
Jadie is trying to get on, and can you send her the link again? Because she's saying that she's having some problems getting on. Guys, give us a minute. And we are going to, we're trying to get our guest in. She's having some technical difficulties. But we will keep going in a minute.
Okay, I just sent it to her again. Hopefully she will get this one.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll see.
I hate when we have technical difficulty.
It happens.
Okay, well, while we're waiting for her, listen. I'm gonna tell you, Malcolm is always sending me stuff. He's one of our classmates from high school. He's always sending me stuff because he know I'm gonna talk about it. Well, he sent me a video of this guy. I guess he's a comedian, and he's talking about, and I wish I could play it for you guys, but yeah, we're not gonna play it on our podcast. But he's talking about these girls that he saw at the airport, and he's talking about the fact that you know, they look, for the lack of better words, they looked a little crusty. Had on bonnets and slippers and just not looking appropriate. But I want to know, when did it become okay for us to start wearing bonnets? Yeah, pick a struggle. That's right, Candy. Pick a struggle. When did it become all right for us to wear bonnets outside?
I don't know.
I know a quick run to the driveway or garage or something, but out and about, like,
I struggle with walking my dog with my bonnet on. So I don't know. I think
so you out there in the public with bonnets too?
I struggle with it. Sometimes I'll take them out. If it's early in the morning, I might take them out and wear my bonnet and take them out and then come back in. But you're not gonna catch me in the grocery store. You're not gonna catch me at the Wawa giving me a cup of coffee. I mean, and I hate to say that it's classism or socioeconomic.
I don't care. I don't care who it is. And then the slippers, I'm just like, I mean, it's like you dressed up like this to go. Like, you got on slippers. There she is. You got on slippers and the bonnet.
Hey.
I tell you, having a lash out of it. I had to use my cell phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're right, Candy. They not only have on bonnets and slippers, but they have on pajamas.
Well, they be up.
It's crazy, JD. We talking about people. This one guy, Malcolm, that went to school with us. He sent us a video of this comedian talking about how girls are dressing now. They're going outside with bonnets, slippers, pajamas on.
Oh yeah, I hate that.
It's not a good look. It's right. Really not a good look. But anyway.
If
we're gonna get into the topic at hand, the head pad,
girl. If I got a 5 a.m. with the flight, gum, I ain't got time to get dressed. So.
I just had one and I was fully dressed. Okay, I can't do it. Maybe it's my age. I can't do it.
Yeah, you old and you bougie.
I cannot do it. Call me what you will, baby, but you won't catch me with a bonnet in the grocery store or on the airplane.
Hey, Candy.
It ain't happening.
Hey.
It is not happening. You, your phone, we can only see part of you from your ring light.
Okay. I'm going to just take it off because I had it for the laptop.
We ready. Let me see if I can make this bigger.
Okay, that is
that way we can see you a little bit better.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Y'all.
Hey.
Well, hey, Jane. My face looking so big up in the thing.
I know it. I was like, I wanted this to be on my laptop instead of my cell phone.
Right.
But, that's okay.
How it works.
On my iPad or whatever. So we invited you because, you know, we follow you. We followed your story and, you know, which is because we know you and we went to high school with you, we kind of felt your pain. I know you were so happy. I know Candy was at your wedding and everything, but tell us a little bit about you and your story from coming from a wife to widow. Tell us about
yourself. Man, I don't even know where to start. Well, he and I met, it's crazy. He and I met when I broke up with my fiance. And my oldest son had been arrested or something like that. And I needed my storage unit to be cleaned out. And so my son sent him to clean it out because he and my oldest son, Quan, his uncle Lamont, the two of them were friends. Mm-hmm. And so that's how he knew him. And he was like, Mom, I'm gonna send him over there to help you to clean out the storage and everything. And me and the fiance had broken up. And so he was flirting with me. And I was like, dude, just help me clean out this daggone storage unit. I ain't got time for this foolishness. Just help me clean this storage unit out. And it was me and Malika, my daughter, my youngest. And we were cleaning it out. And then from there, he and I just became friends. Mm-hmm. And he was seeing someone. So that was another reason. And I had just ended the relationship with the guy that I was engaged to. So I wasn't interested in being with anybody else. I was like, you know, that was enough. Me and that guy ended up getting back together. And that became like a roller coaster. And he was just like on the side, just being supportive and being my friend. And then we started talking. Well, then I was supposed to move to Texas. My dad lives in Texas. And I was like, okay, the kids are grown now. Let me work on my own life and, you know, have built a relationship with my dad. And so he and I talked and I was supposed to move to Texas. I think it was the spring of 2021. The middle of COVID. Well, that week that I was supposed to move, the bridge closed on the way to Texas. There was some kind of structural damage on the bridge. I think it was I-44 that leads out of Memphis into Arkansas. That bridge went down. It was like three things happened in a week.
Wow.
And that's what was my cue. I was like, okay, well, maybe Texas is not as supposed to be in the queue for right now. And then I called him because he and I were friends. I said, I bet you probably been praying. He's Muslim. So I was like, you probably been praying to Allah that I stay in this godforsaken city.
Not godforsaken.
I'm trapped here. I'm trying to live my best life. And you praying over there that I get stuck here. And he was like, no, you know how I feel about you. I want the best for you. I was like, okay. So, you know, we rekindled our friendship and started talking a little bit more during that time. And then we married December. He asked me in October, would I marry him? I thought when he asked, would I marry him someday? And so I was like, yeah, I think I would marry you. And he was like, yes. He was all excited. And I was like, hold on. You mean someday, right?
Not today. One day in the future.
Yeah, one day in the future. But not like right now. Because, you know, I had a really nice single life.
Today.
I was not interested in getting married. I had really settled in just being single and being by myself and me and my dog and, you know, working out. And, you know, I'm an empty nester. The kids are finally grown. You know, all three of them or one of them is not, you know, in a revolving door. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, okay, hey, JD is getting ready to get her life back. And I end up married a month later.
Wow.
So I took him to...
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
I took him to visit my great aunt who's 90. I think she was 95 at the time. And I said, if Auntie can vet him and see, because, you know, I went through this really bad breakup with this other guy. So I was just like, I'm going to need another set of eyes because I didn't trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I took him. Like
rebounding? Or
Right. So I took him to Auntie and I said, Auntie, I said, what do you think? And she was like, you're going to marry him. And right there, a month later, we were married.
Wow.
A month later, we were married. We got married Islamically. It's really not that big of a deal. It's more like a table signing. We thought that the imam was a registered Virginia officiant. But he wasn't, so we end up having to do it legally like a month later after that. But yeah, we got married a month later. Jelly.
So
right. Girl, we got animals that like to bark while we talking too.
I'm not barking. So let me ask you, this might be petty.
Well, I want to show y'all something. Hold on. I want to show y'all something real quick. So hold on.
I give her a minute. Jalecia, place the ring on Hanif's finger and repeat after me.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, as this ring.
Oh
yeah, so
I thought that was so cute.
So the story behind that was he surprised me with the ring. I suggested one style ring, and he went way above and beyond what I asked for, and he gave me something else. And so I was just like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. But y'all, he was such a great husband. It make me want to cry right now.
How long did you have him?
42 weeks.
Wow. Not even a full year.
Yep, 42 weeks.
42 weeks.
We had just went to had our not our anniversary, our honeymoon the month before.
Wow, at least got to experience that.
Yep. And 2 months before that, I tested positive with a baby.
I thought you were gonna say for COVID with a baby.
Yep, he didn't have any children, and you know, he wanted a baby. And I said, I've always said that I wouldn't mind having a pregnancy within mm-hmm. the confines of a marriage, because I knew what it was like to have children outside of a marriage and raise mm-hmm. children, you know, as a single parent. So, you know, my idea was, you know, hey, I think this will be great, is the way God designed it anyway. And then three weeks prior to his death, I had a miscarriage.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
And he took it so, I mean, the doctors and the nurses had to console him.
Oh.
He was crying profusely, and I didn't even know how to respond to it, because I had never seen anything like that before. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen a pregnancy affect a man in that way.
Well, it was more so, not so much the pregnancy, but the loss.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And so he cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And so I don't know, dealing with that and dealing with, you know, one, I'm 50 and pregnant. So I'm like, Lord,
it's been done.
We used to go back and forth about it. And he was like, you know, I would joke with him all the time. I was like, you just need to marry your young girl so that, you know, you can have a baby. He was like, well, apparently old coochie can get pregnant too.
So tell us about, because I know you I was following you after everything happened, and you would get on and talk about things, and you started from wife to widow. Tell us about that journey.
You know, I never imagined that I would be a wife.
Really?
I really had settled in my heart that I was going to live my remaining days single.
Wow.
And I had settled in that thought with God that, hey, I'm going to be single. I'm going to, you know, covet my life in a way where it's honorable to other women. You know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I never have.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that God would use my ministry for young women, young adult women. And when I met him years ago, I still was just like, you know, he's just, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, being a wife was like, wow. This is awesome. This is really beautiful. This is what I believe every woman who aren't called to celibacy desires. Mm-hmm. To have a partner, to have someone that loves them, that honors them, that wants to take care of them, who is willing to provide what they need before they even know what they need. before they can even speak mm-hmm. in terms of their heart, that the man has studied them to a point where you don't even have to say anything. They just mm-hmm. automatically do it. Mm-hmm. And he was that kind of husband. And I believe that's what God needed me to experience during this marriage. Being a widow has been probably even harder than being a wife.
Wow.
People feel like they need to fix you. When I talk to guys, you know, they are nice, but when they hear that I'm a widow, it's like, I need to discard her. Like, she's not worthy to be loved again or married again. I'm in a widow group on Facebook, and that's mm-hmm. one of the top topics that we talk about often, that it's easy for men who are widows to remarry, but it's hard for women because men, I guess, see us as used property.
Really? I would never think that way.
It's really
that you've done or something that you've caused, that if you were the black widow and you know doing stuff to harm them, that's one thing, but that's just so ridiculous to me that they would think of you that way, like it's something that you did, like you're at fault for something.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when they come to your house and you know they view the body and the police and everybody come, they ask you a million questions because they first see you as the person who did it.
Right. So do you mind sharing what happened, or did you
We were on the phone. So October 8th, I was working towards being off every other weekend. So this was I was working a full day. And that particular week, he had a lot of congestion. By Thursday, I said to him, I said, "Hun, I think," because he was waking up in the middle of the night and was waking me up. And I was like, "I think you might need to go see a doctor because you don't sound right." And he was like, "No, I'm okay." And I was like, "Yeah." I said, "You keep taking these kids Zyrtex." I said, "But I honestly think you need to go to the hospital because you cannot get that congestion out of you." So that was Thursday. Right. Friday, he got up for normal prayer. Went to work, did his normal stuff. I went to work. Friday night, we went for like a 3-mile walk. He's the one who holds the dog. So we walked for about 3 miles, came back. Saturday, he got up, normal stuff again. He's still coughing. I'm still saying to him, "I think you need to go to a doctor. You don't sound right."
Mm-hmm.
He did all of his normal stuff. I was at work. He would send me a picture every Saturday when he would leave a barbershop. And I looked at this picture for this Saturday, and I was just like, "So he looks weird." I said, "Well, maybe he's tired because he's been coughing all night, all week. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been resting." So we talked. I got off work at 3:00. We had wedding gifts that was and I put in my storage unit. So I was like, "Well, let's use some of the wedding gifts. Let's set up the backyard. Let's, you know, I'm not working anymore. The wedding is over. The honeymoon is over. Let's create an oasis in the backyard." So I went to Lowe's, picked up some stuff, went to Home Goods. We were on the phone the whole time talking. He's telling me about his day. I'm telling him about my day. He was like, "Okay, well, my friends are in town from Pennsylvania, and we're going to go to dinner, so hurry up and get home." So I was like, "Okay." He was like, "I love you." We hang the phone up. I drive home. It's about 10 minutes because I live right here in Short Pump. I'm leaving Home Goods on Broad in Short Pump. About 10, 15 minutes, maybe 12 minutes at best. I pull up. Everything he said he was going to do, he's going to let the dog out. The dog is outside barking. The transmission fluid is in the front yard. The front door is open. And I walk in and he's sitting on the floor. Mm. I was thinking to myself, like, he's so OCD that he's sitting on the floor. I was like, that's odd. But okay, so I walk in, I'm talking. He's not saying anything. I'm talking again. Now I'm walking and talking towards him. And he's not moving. He's not saying anything. And I get over to him. His eyes are open. The sweat is on his brow. And something in me said, pick up his hand. And I picked up his hand and it just dropped down. And I lost it. I ran next door and got my neighbor. Mm. She came over and I moved the ottoman out of the way and laid him down right here in the living room and began to follow what 911 told me to do.
Aww.
And what, 12, 15 minutes later from a conversation of, I love you, I'll be right there, hurry up and get home. And I come home and he's gone.
Oh my goodness.
And it's been, it blows me away every time I come in here. The dog, when I pulled up, my dog had been barking like really crazy. So I'm thinking either he sees me, but the door wasn't wide open enough for him to know that it was me. So I'm thinking that maybe it's a dog in the backyard that he sees. Mm-hmm. And so he's, you know, tripping off that animal. And then I realized that he watched the whole thing. And he was barking at him. And so, yeah, I don't know. When I look back over, I think that he knew he was sick.
You think so?
Why would he go to the doctor? Like,
he had been going. And that was the thing. He knew he didn't tell me. He and his nurse were tight, and she let me get his medical records. And so I got all 275 pages of them.
Wow.
And I read through them, and they had been telling him pretty much from the time we got married that he was diabetic, he had high blood pressure, he had all these issues. And, you know, people don't know, I'm telling you now, that when you go to the doctor, they scribe everything you say. Mm-hmm. And so he's telling them that, I don't want to tell my wife right now. I'm going to talk to her about it later. I'm going to work on my diet. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on that. And he just didn't. And he didn't tell me. As a matter of fact, he didn't tell anybody.
Wow.
If it were not for the fact that I got those medical records, I would have never known.
How old was he, Jamie?
52.
Wow. That was young.
Yep.
Sounds like he just wanted to live in the moment.
Yep. He was in love. I was in love. We were in love. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to experience it. And he gave me the best 42 weeks of my life.
Wow.
Hey, wow. Mr. McGee.
42 weeks.
Yep. The time it takes to form a baby in your belly.
Wow. Do you feel any guilt sometimes?
Initially I did.
Okay.
Because
I think it's normal. That's why.
Yeah.
Initially
I did feel some guilt because his family blamed me for his death. And, you know, made comments and it was crazy. And so I had to let go of that. Because I started to kind of internalize it myself, like, well, was it my fault? Was I trying to change him?
Mm-hmm.
Because I created boundaries like any wife would do. Mm-hmm. Every wife will create boundaries around their spouse. Because now it's no longer about you individually. It's about you and him.
Right. How'd your kids adjust to you having a husband?
Right.
Oh, they ain't like it. they all did. Oh my goodness, they was all tripping.
They so used to having you by yourself for so long.
Yep, they were tripping. The only one who wasn't tripping was Quan.
That's your oldest baby, right?
The oldest one, yeah.
I remember him. He was so cute.
Yeah, but yeah, the other two, they were tripping. They were crazy. But they saw how much he loved me, and they saw how he took care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that softened their heart towards him.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters, really.
Yes.
To be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's how they treat you and how they make you feel.
Yeah.
But tell us how you got to the point you are now, because you looking real, real strong, girl.
Yeah.
Well, I have a very strong faith community. I've belonged to a mentoring group called Grow with Gabby for the past, I think 2018, 2017. And I've been a part of that group, and she works on your emotional health, your spiritual health, your physical health. And it's a community of women. We go on retreats once a year. I haven't gone on the last few retreats because they go to Mexico and I'm not a fan. But yeah, I've been a part of that group. And I've been a student of the word. You know, I'm a licensed ordained minister. I was licensed from Cedar Street in February of 2016. I was ordained from Faith Landmark in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a student of the word. I'm a student of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cognizant of how I treat people. So when this came, I'm not going to lie, the enemy played with my, I literally would come in the house after working and not leave out. And the enemy played with my head and my thoughts for a good about 3 months. You know, do anybody care about me? You know, what if my kids, you know, how would they feel if I was gone? And
really?
It was probably I was missing him so bad because he wasn't just my husband, he was my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's what matters.
It wasn't so much I lost my husband. I also lost my friend. I lost my confidant. I lost someone that I could trust with all of my secrets.
Mm. And,
you know, all of the things that I've experienced in life. I could talk to him about that.
No judgment.
And it was no judgment.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And, you know, I was missing him. And one day, it's probably a few months ago, back in January, he came to me in a dream. Mm-hmm. And it was like he had been away on a business trip. And I'm telling him about everything that's gone on and I miss him. And he was like, hey, I want you to come with me. I came back to get you. And y'all, it was so real, like I'm talking to you right now. That's how real it was.
Oh.
And I said to him, I was like, I can't go with you right now. I said, I got to go to work.
Mm.
And one of my faith friends said, she said, yeah, she said, and your work is not literal work. Your work is the work of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That is something. Wow.
And that helped me kind of like snap out of it.
Uh-huh.
And realize, okay, JD, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to miss him. But you are a part of the land of the living.
Right.
And now your job will be to share this experience with everybody else.
Mm.
And so that's how I kind of, and also I go to therapy.
No, I would say
I see a therapist.
Well, let me ask you, when stuff like that happens, people don't know what to say. What did you need or did not need?
you know, because how can people comfort somebody in with a loss like that?
People don't know what to say. People told me that he was Muslim, so that's why God took him.
What?
Why
would somebody tell you that?
Yeah. Yep. People say he's Muslim, so that's why God took him. Y'all were not supposed to be together, so that's why he's dead and you're here.
Who are these people?
Yeah. I heard it all. So I just learned to like block it out. One thing that I'm good at saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good at creating boundaries. And so even though I knew that they were saying that kind of foolishness, I just blocked it out and realized that they want to help, but they just don't know how to.
Well, I don't think in any situation that would be appropriate to say.
Yeah. But
no.
Yeah,
no.
But a lot of people, matter of fact, some people stopped talking to me because he was Muslim.
Now, I do believe that because there's some ignorant people out here.
Yep, they stopped talking to me because he was Muslim. And I said to myself, I was like, even if you wanted to evangelize him, you missed out on that opportunity by being judgmental.
Absolutely.
Mm.
They forget that there's a person... You know,
behind the religion.
My religion is what I do, where I am.
Right.
I'm still the person behind my religion.
And he was a good person. I mean, will give you the shirt off his back person.
Did he have kids?
Nope, he didn't have any children.
Okay.
Nope, he didn't have any children.
Yeah,
that might be why he took it so hard.
Yeah, his brother has about 13 children.
Mm. Wow.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That sounds like it. 13 children. And is he Muslim as well?
No, he was the only one in his family who was Muslim. And after being married to him and asking him and quizzing him on, you know, how did he come to convert to Islam? Mm-hmm. I learned that he wanted community. He wanted family. He wanted the relationship. He wanted to have personal rapport with people.
Mm.
And he wasn't getting that within his family. What he was getting from his family was being used. And what can I give you? Or what can I do for you?
Well, unfortunately, that's why they were mad with you.
Yeah, right.
They cut off their supply.
Slam off nothing.
That's so ridiculous.
Cold turkey on them. Yep,
that's good though. You know when enough is enough, and that's good for you because a lot of people don't know when enough is enough, and you know having to deal with people, and they you know they kind of go into depression based off of what somebody else is saying versus saying, back off of me. You're not good for me.
Right. Right.
So that's good that you knew that.
And you know,
I want to read something.
Go ahead.
I want to read something that you wrote on March 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been following you in the background. Just, you know, when you see somebody going through stuff, you just kind of want to, you know, make sure they okay. And when I read this, I was like, okay, she's finding her way back. It said, the twinkle in my eye is coming back because I'm the apple of his eye. The past few months, I've been in a very dark place. Grief is a monster that you cannot do alone. Thankful for my friends, therapy, and the prayers of support. Hashtag wife to widow. And this picture, I don't know if y'all can see it. That smile.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? She gonna be able to help some people and she don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
She don't even know it because people silently watch you, like me. And you're gonna help some people because you You figured it out. You still figuring it out. You're not letting people treat you like just any old thing.
Right.
But it's amazing. You got one of our old teachers on here.
Yeah, he says, I've got to go, but I want to say I'm proud of you three wonderful ladies. You have made me so proud of you and the fantastic women you have become. That includes you too, Candy. By the way, Christians need to research Islam. It is one of the three religions that are covered by the Abrahamic covenant. Mm-hmm. Ishmael was ordained by God to start a nation. JD, I also became an ordained minister 3 years ago.
Oh, that's so nice. That was a miss. Was that Mr.
So
McGee?
You probably.
Mr. McGee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think, yo, what's your husband's name?
Hanif.
I think he is talking through that dog because he is really like,
he sees someone outside. I'm going to have to close the door because that's what he keeps looking at. Some, I think it's a cat.
Oh, okay.
That's out there. But yeah, I've had to really.
I just want to say how proud I am of you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, we're definitely proud of you. I know it's been some work. I know it's been a lot of work.
It's been some work. Yeah, one of my clients gave me a 4-book series. It's like a little mini book, probably about 20 pages. You read, it's 4 of them, so you read them consecutively. And I'm on the 3rd book now, where it's talking about you cannot not grieve.
Right. And it's no time. There's no time limit. It's, you know, you'll never get over it. You'll just learn to deal with it. You'll just learn to, that life will go on and you will use your pain. Your pain has a purpose. And God prepared you to be able to deal with this. The old JD may not have been able to cope with this and deal with this or to be able to regroup. But he was preparing you. I mean, you had 2 major losses in a very short period of time. The average person would be like, what the hell? But you know, you've been able to go through this stuff and to be in a position where you're getting better.
Right.
How do you feel? How long did it take you to kind of be a little bit more comfortable in your home? Because I would be like, oh no, I'm moving out this house. I can't do it. You know, how has that been?
I moved out of our bedroom about a month after he passed. And I sleep in the bedroom that he would pray in.
Wow.
And I haven't returned back to the bedroom that we shared together. And so I don't know. Some days it's hard. I come in here and it's hard. Let's see. It's been 8 months. Probably 6 months. It's been about 2 months ago that I've actually come downstairs and I sit in the living room.
Wow.
As far as his belongings, they are all still in the same place it was when he passed. I haven't touched anything.
Take your time. You gotta take your time.
Yep, it's been 8 months. I haven't touched anything. Some days I want to deal with it because I want to make space. And then I look at it and, you know, I think about how would he feel? Or is this too fast? And then I say, you know what, JD, just leave it alone. And I just leave it alone.
What gave you the strength to make it through the holidays, the new year, his birthday, your birthday?
Well, now that is going to ask me in a few months. His birthday is our wedding day.
Oh my goodness. When is your wedding day again?
Oh, wow.
Our Christian wedding is June 18th. That's his wedding. That's his birthday.
Yeah, that's next month.
Yeah. So I am doing a commemorative photo shoot with my dress and flowers.
Oh, maybe her phone went out. But this, okay, there you go. Stop.
We can't, I don't think we can hear.
Oh, somebody
can't hear you. Well, I just want to say it is, I mean, she did a good job not letting people tell her how to grieve. You know, a lot of times people want to tell you how to grieve. They want to tell you how long you should grieve and, you know, how to help you through it. And sometimes you don't want to get help through it. You got to understand it. And like she said, she's not ready to move the clothes and all that stuff. And that's okay. That's okay. People right. will tell you, oh, it's taking too long. It's taking too long. No, no, it's not. And she might have to
come out and come back in.
Get out and log back in.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
But that's my, I mean, I was looking through her page. She's. Say what?
I can't believe those people were saying those horrible things. Like, who could be just that insensitive to say things like that?
People are idiots. You know that as a counselor. Some people are idiots. They do crazy stuff. They don't think first before they say stuff, or just don't say anything at all if you don't know what to say.
Yes.
It's sad.
Yeah, hopefully she'll sign back. You left a comment on your Facebook page, and Candy's like, it's very ignorant, Candy.
Candy, people are very insensitive.
You were at that wedding, and you were able to share with them.
Okay.
All right.
There she is. She's back.
My grandson was calling me.
Oh, okay.
My grandson kept calling me. Well, so what was your last question?
I think you were telling us how you were going to commemorate him on your birthday.
I saved, you know, the photographer did not take a lot of pictures of the details from our wedding day. And so I have everything. And so I told him, I said, okay, well, on our 1 year anniversary, we will have a party and we'll use all the same stuff again.
Nice.
Not knowing that I would be doing this without him. So I saved everything. And then I have a photographer that's a cinematography person. And she's going to create a short film, and I'll do a voiceover, and I'll wear my ring, and we'll go to different parts of Richmond, places that he and I will go walk in and spend time at together. And so that's what I'm doing.
Okay. What do you miss the most about him? What he made you laugh? What do you miss the most about him?
He was OCD. And at first, it used to get on my nerves. and he would clean and clean and clean. And then I would go behind him and fix it the way I like it. And then the Lord was like, what are you doing? Like, let that man do what he's going to do. And so I stopped doing that. And I let him do it. And that's by far what I miss the most. I would come home. He made the bed. He cleaned the kitchen. He took out the trash. He vacuumed the house. He put gas in the car. He kept the car clean. Like, he was on it. You know how some women have to say, hey, hon, take out the trash or do this or do that. I didn't have to do that with him at all. He was so perceptive and so forward thinking that he would do stuff that I didn't even realize I needed until he did it.
Wow. What did he leave you with? You know, how did he change your life? What are you left with?
He left me with the way he loved me. His love was protective.
Oh, and, Lord, now I'm about to cry. Lord Jesus.
It was protective. It wasn't pushy. You know, even though we shared different faiths, it wasn't, you know, you need to do this or you need to do that. He allowed me to still be JD and be his wife too. And then the way he loved my grandkids.
The way he loved your grandbabies.
The way he loved those grandbabies.
And how did they love him?
And they loved him right on back. You would have thought he's known them their whole life.
Wow.
Oh, wow. What did they call him?
Pops.
And that was probably his whole world.
His whole world. Yeah. My granddaughter, she said to me, you know, when we go out to his burial, she was like, Gigi, you got to get married again. Because I want Pops back. Aww. And I say, Maya, we're not going to get Pops back, but I will pray that God will send the man who will love us the way he loved us, but also who will honor what he brought to our life and not try to force me to erase him.
Wow. I know he came at a point where you were kind of in between you or leaving the other guy. Did it take you a while to open your heart to receive that kind of love? No, because sometimes we've been through so much stuff that it takes us time to be able to open up to receive that type of love.
Yes, it did. And then, you know, when you're loved well, and loved in a healthy way, it can bring out some dysfunction in you that you don't even realize that's hidden in them crevices.
Right.
And you have to be a person who's willing to be transparent
and do the work,
vulnerable, and who's willing to communicate and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling a certain kind of way, or I'm looking at things a certain kind of way. Can we talk about this? And that's one thing that he did. He definitely listened and then he responded. He did not listen to respond. He really took in everything that I was saying and then he gave me an answer. Or he didn't say anything. He just let me vent and we moved on from it. And so it was an experience that, you
know,
sometimes
I'm not a man, don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm scared to put myself out there again. A lot of times I'm scared to put myself out there again because I don't want to compare. I don't want to make another guy feel like, what can he really bring to the table compared to what Hanif did?
Now, Candy said you gave him a hard time at first.
Oh, I did. Because he was most, I really gave him a hard time. He chased me down. like a lion and a gazelle. he really chased me down.
Not a lion and a gazelle. He knew what he wanted.
He knew what he wanted. He would tell me all the time. He said, "It's you or nothing."
Wow. You really made a mark on his life.
Wow.
Yep.
Probably gave him everything that he wanted and needed, and as short as the time was, it meant everything to him.
And I created the wedding centered around him. Pictures of him, pictures of his family, pictures of us, everything that we had been doing over the weeks prior. And so I wanted to showcase how much he loved me. And I wanted people who came to the wedding to see that love. But yeah, he definitely chased me down because that's I was great. Just like, no.
So I got a question for you. For women that are going through the same thing, what would you suggest for them? What would be the first thing that you would tell them? Because I do have another friend that went through the situation as well, and her husband passed during COVID, and she's doing some of the same things that you're doing. I noticed I was comparing you to, and what would you say to her?
What I would say to her or any woman experiencing this is find a healthy group of women. Get yourself connected to community. It is really going to be important for you to connect to your female friends. A group that you can be transparent in, a group that you can talk about him. You can just be vulnerable, because now what I'm experiencing, I guess we could be honest on here.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going through the change.
Yes.
And I was going through it somewhat, you know, that 42 weeks of us being married, I was just having hot flashes. And so he would, you know, we newly married, so of course we like jackrabbits. And he wanna cuddle and touch, and you know, he was very affectionate, like overly affectionate. I had to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say to him, I was like, dude, if we're not gonna have sex, you gotta slide over.
It be hot up in there.
It's hot up in here.
Yeah.
Body heat. I don't want that right now.
I know you in love, but your girl is steaming.
Oh my goodness.
On fire. Girl, and then the attitudes start coming, and it's like, right. If you don't get off of me, right. I'm hot.
So now I'm single and I'm a widow, and now the sweat is being accompanied with, I mean, the hot flashes are being accompanied with sweat. Mm. And so now I'm thinking, man, how am I going to go on a date? And I start sweating.
I'd be honest, you know.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you.
A little fan or something. I told you, we need to be
this right here. This is this Lucy girl. This is Lucy. Lucy be in my purse, and when I get hot, I done used her so much that the battery dead. I put her down here and just hold her a little bit. Nobody don't know. Cause this morning at work, I had her up here.
I'm like, Lord, somebody
help me, Jesus.
We need to do something on how our bodies are changing in this menopause stuff. I promise right. you. I promise you, I'm up 3 o'clock in the morning every morning.
Right.
Don't ask me why.
Right. Right.
Me too. Me too. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say definitely connect yourself to community. That is going to really be your saving grace, because there are times where we want to disconnect from the world.
Hold on, Jada. He said powder. Don't he know Johnson & Johnson got a lawsuit
right.
going on?
Don't right.
Man. Boy, if you don't, we stopped using powder and antiperspirants a long time ago. You're trying to give us cancer.
Right. Yes. Trying to give us all kinds of cancer. My doctor won't even give me estrogen because it leads to breast cancer.
Estrogen does. Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The patches lead to breast cancer. It creates an onset of more hormones in your body that you can actually take.
God take us through all these changes because he know we can handle it.
Right. So I was just like, geez. So then I'm thinking, okay, what if I want to, you know, be with a man someday?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sweating. And then, you know, I'm hearing about these women who have dryness in that area. So you just need to be in a community.
I think you're overthinking, ma'am, but I hear you.
Yeah. Yes, and that's why you need community, because your friends who love you.
Well, you're looking good.
Thank you. They will help you vet all of those John, crazy.
Look, John, it's a PG.
You're right.
Tell us to lubricate.
We're gonna block you. Right. We're gonna block you, Pastor Kelby.
Yeah, your friends will help you vet.
But he is right though.
Yeah. They will help you vet your thoughts and vet the negative thoughts, give you perspective even on, you know, some of your craziness.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, I was telling her, you know, this week, I said, you know, sometimes I'm falling apart. And she said, yeah. She said, but you're falling apart in God.
Mm.
There's a difference.
Right.
She was like, so that's what I'm saying. You know, we can say things that come across in a negative way, but we have healthy friendships and relationships. They can give you that perspective that you're not going to see, because in the moment you're emotional, you're in the moment right. You are missing your spouse, you're missing what they brought to your life. Mm-hmm. And so that's another reason why they didn't give me like antidepressants and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that, because she was like, it doesn't look like you need that. And I wanted to feel all of my emotions.
Mm.
So I think that's a big difference too. Some people want to hide and cower down and, you know, want to take medication because they don't want to feel it. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to journal about it. I wanted to talk, figure out, you know, where this is coming from. And in grief, it unravels past stuff too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna be messy now. So the previous fiance, did he support you during this time?
Oh no, I haven't heard from him in 3 years. When he left in 2019, I haven't seen him or heard from him since.
Wow.
And when I got married, the week I got married, we went to Shore Pump Town Center, and we were in the mall, and we were standing in line, and his cousin, the previous fiance's cousin, was standing in line behind me. And he was like, JD, how are you? He asked me about him.
Mm.
And I was like, I haven't seen him. And then I introduced him to my husband.
I know that, right?
He was like, what? You got married? With that. I was like, yeah. I was like, I ain't thinking about your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since I've been in grief, there have been times where I did think about him.
Mm.
But I had a girlfriend who knew about that relationship, and she helped me work through why he popped up.
Oh, yeah. Loneliness.
Trauma from him. And you know, now I'm in trauma. And so trauma likes to live together. It likes to bond with other people.
Last week you had an emotional intelligence class. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I don't even know how I got into this program, y'all. I am taking seminary classes through Virginia Union, Evan Smith program. And I was just in church talking to a friend of mine's wife. Her husband and I were licensed together. And so she was like, JD, I know the person. She would say, grief opens the door to unresolved grief. Yeah.
Absolutely. Jeanette, a counselor too. She definitely knows. She's a therapist too.
Yep. It sure does. So I was talking to her about potentially getting back into the program and getting back into ministry. And she was like, "Oh, well, I know the leader. I'll call him." And 12 weeks ago, I started.
Wow.
So the first class was on discipleship. I did that for 6 weeks. And then the second class was this class, emotional intelligence. And we just talked about how to deal with obstacles. Oh. He said, wise choice. How to deal with obstacles, how to respond instead of reacting. What else? And we just talked about how the brain processes new information through neuroplasticity and the neurotransmitters and all of that stuff. And so how to be an active listener and not to take things personal
That's
when people
important.
bring things to us. And to also ask questions when people come to you, because I used to be a people pleaser. So I would allow people to come and dump all of their crap on me in my lap, call me, text me, send me emails. And I found myself in a revolving hamster wheel of constantly trying to fix everybody else. And I was depleting my own self. So about 5 years ago, I learned to start saying no.
People don't realize how important this is. And look at this. He's
I
still
was
just.
just telling Sharita that earlier today is
Yeah.
that I need to learn how to say no.
John, we see you still not short on confidence. Crazy stuff. Good to see when good people follow your footsteps.
So this class, the next class I'm going to take is marketing and media and ministry. But the emotional intelligence class, it was pretty good. I can't say I learned anything that I didn't already know. It was more of a refresher for me, because I've been in constant work of myself prior to going through this process of losing my husband. So,
And
this
that's probably why you're handling it like you are, because you were already working on yourself.
I was working on myself. And it was a lot of things that I was working on him about as well, because he was also a people pleaser. So I could identify a lot of things in him, and I created boundaries. And people, nobody likes boundaries.
They don't.
Yep.
But the important is that. Nope.
But yeah, this grief has it, like Jeanette said, it opens the door to unresolved grief. But because I worked on my mama issues and my daddy issues, being a single parent and raising my children and all of those things, I was able to process losing him a little bit better. It didn't make the loss better, easier, but I could put it in perspective, and I could see the gratefulness in the fact that God didn't put me in a position where I had to pull the plug, or I didn't have to be a full-time caregiver. He didn't put me in a position where I would have to fight with his family over certain things. And so I was glad that his passing happened fast. I'm happy that it happened here at home because I could control it. I'm glad that he didn't die behind the wheel of a car driving home where he could have hurt someone else. And now I'm stuck with a lawsuit for, someone else's death.
You've been thinking,
So,
I mean, everything's, I said that's very positive the way that you're processing it. So you really thought this thing out. really just thought everything out. Yeah.
Yeah, I literally for a good 4 months in Islam, they have something called the iddah, where widows in Islam are not supposed to leave the house unless they are working women for 4 months and 10 days. I didn't realize that I was following that until the 4 months and the 10 days were up.
Oh, wow.
And I could see why the Prophet Muhammad put that in place for Muslim women. Because for 4 months, literally, I did not leave. I worked and I came home. And it got to a really dark place to the point where my therapist was like, okay, it's time for you to come out the house. And when she said that, it was right past that 4 months and 10 days.
That is funny. Wow.
So yeah, I can speak to it from a Christian perspective, and I can speak to it from an Islamic perspective. And the what's been really weird to me sometimes is to see how the Muslim community has been more of a friend to me than my own community.
Wow. Even though you hadn't even converted to become
They came.
So did you have a did you have any relationship with his family?
Nope.
Anybody in his family?
Nobody. His cousin, she and I are pretty tight. But the rest of them, no. His brother had 13 children, and that's 13 that they can account for. They believe it might be a little bit more. Eight of them were at the wedding.
Wow.
But yeah. He confided in his brother, and that I'm gonna give you the real side of it. He towards the end, any little thing that we were arguing about, and you know, in a first year marriage, you are arguing about everything. Well, he was talking to his family about us and about our arguments, but I didn't know it until after he died.
Oh, wow.
And so I started hearing all of the gossip from everybody after he died. And so I had to really resolve that, because it was just like, wow, did he really love me? Because he didn't tell me that. He didn't talk to me about it. He talked to everybody else, and I had to hear from other people. And in therapy, my therapist said, you need to hold up the facts, the truth against a lie. And she taught me how to do that. You know, what is the truth and what is the other stuff? And you need to hold those things up and weigh it against each other. And that is how I got through hearing all of the negative things that I was hearing about him and what he was doing outside of me and what he was saying. And then I was just like, you know, he's talking to his brother, but I'm like, his brother got 13 kids. And what advice could he give on a solid marriage? So yeah, it's been a lot.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
But yeah, I didn't have
you steady, and you on the upward climb, and I'm.
So other than that, I've just been working on myself and reading and studying and staying connected to people I know who's in my corner and care about me and who love me. And I stay away from the mad, the miserable, the manipulatives, and messy people.
What do you do, Jada? Share with our audience.
And that's good, because you have to, you You have to stay away from those type of people. I mean, and I hate to say this, but in the industry that you work in, you meet those people all the time, because where you talk about stuff at the beauty parlor, barbershop, you know. So I commend you for just, you know, dealing with everything. And on top of that, you find out that he's talking to his brother, and you find out all these things. I commend you for all of that, because, you know, I know you're gonna have hills and valleys, but you found a way to keep yourself balanced. And even when you do feel like you have a valley that you want to sit in for a minute, you know, I think that's okay, as long as you have the ability to come out of it. I think that's okay, because we need to acknowledge our feelings, and a lot of us don't. A lot of us don't. And we're proud of you.
Thank
We
you.
are very proud of you. That's why we wanted to bring you on here, because we gotta let women know that this stuff is okay. Like, older people tell you, girl, go ahead, and you know, you've been sitting in this for a minute. No, it's okay. And we need to let our women know that. And me and Sharita thought it was a good idea to get you on here to help people understand that you're gonna be okay in the end, but you gotta deal with your emotions. Because if you don't, you're gonna have, I mean, you're gonna lose it. Maybe at an inopportune time.
But what I chose to do was not look at anything he did negatively, even the negative stuff. I said the fact that he's dead shows that he was not in a good place. And if he were alive and healthy, he would have been able to deal with things. We would have been able to deal with things in a healthy way. But the fact that he's gone and I'm here, that it doesn't make sense for me to ruminate on shoulda, coulda, woulda, or anything that he said negative, because whatever he was saying negative was out of a place of unhealed, unhealthy place. And so I decided to, when I'm sad, to remember how much he loved me. When I'm sad, remember how much he loved my grandchildren. When I'm sad, to remember how much his desire was to take care of me. And that's what pulls me out, or not even allow me to even go there, honestly. When I think of
And that's
him,
a
I
good
don't think
thing.
about nothing negative. I don't even speak, other than this video, us talking right now. I don't even talk about him in a negative way. I don't even talk about none of the negative stuff that I heard or learned, because it doesn't even matter. He's not here. And he didn't leave me with that. He wasn't that way towards me when he was alive. So I don't have anything to say bad about him.
It doesn't diminish what you guys have, and he clearly demonstrated. You not only said, he demonstrated his love for you and your grandbaby.
Even if he were irritated with me, he did not deviate one second from being consistent in how he loved me every single day. So
You need
I,
to remember that.
yeah.
Definitely remember that.
So I refuse to.
Well, I'm gonna say thank you.
Yep.
I'm gonna say thank you for coming
Thank you.
and being here with us tonight. We definitely appreciate it, and I hope I get to see you at the class reunion.
Oh, we having one of those?
Yeah, we've been planning.
Yes, we are. We've been
What?
sending it out. It's actually on my page. We're just advertising that we have it now. More information is coming, but I
Oh.
hopefully you will come. It's September 8th
Okay.
through the 10th in
Okay. Yep,
Richmond.
7 to 8 to 10. Thank you, John.
September 8th through 10th, and we got a lot of people coming, a lot of people interested. So y'all, get ready for more information. And thank you for coming on with us. And I want to remind people that my book is out.
Yeah.
You can go on my page or Inspire Her. The link is there. And I'm about to write all the messages for those people who wanted to know about the book. And the people that purchased it, your books are coming. They are coming.
This week.
So,
yes.
And keep watching Inspire Her. Listen, this is a love project for us. Oh, look at those eyes.
That's a beautiful doll.
He was gorgeous.
It's awesome.
Listen, keep listening to Inspire Her. This is a love project for us. We love chatting with people. We love talking to you guys. We're actually going to come to Richmond and maybe a couple other places, and we're going to have a meet and greet and do a live broadcast. So,
that'll be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared. Look out for us, because me and the counselor. Y'all can tell Sharita is a counselor because she counseled JD today. But be prepared. Me and the counselor coming to a city near you. Guys, we love you guys. And we're saying good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We are here to inspire her, the total woman.
Yay.